Amen. If you have your Bible with you this morning, however you access the Word of God, I'm going to invite you to turn over to a passage of Scripture that no doubt you are familiar with, but we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 4 and beginning with verse number 35. So Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35. Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse number 35, the scripture said, "And the same day, when evening was come, he saith unto them," and that he is Jesus, "Jesus said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent the multitude away, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." How many of you know you got a problem when the ship is full? Hello? "And he," Jesus, "he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith? And while he is inquiring of them why they are fearful and why they have no faith, they are saying one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who in the world is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you just bow your heads with me, if you will. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing. Father, we have sensed your presence. We have felt you here in this place as we have worshiped and as we have praised and as we have lifted up our hearts to honor you. And we come now, Lord, to the reading of your word. And we come now to the ministry of your word. And I would ask this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would anoint me for the task of being an able minister of the word of the living God. Of my own self, I am inadequate. So I would pray, Lord, that you would anoint me, that you would inspire my thoughts, that you would put your word in my mouth, that you would let the word of God come forth with clarity, simplicity, and with power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask this morning, Lord, for unction to function. I ask that Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted and elevated and glorified in our midst. And that the people of God and those that are sitting in this place and those that will listen by way of the internet, that they will be blessed of the Lord and that they will be edified. For all of these things, Father, we ask and we pray them in the mighty and in the powerful and the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, What Kind of Question Is That? How many of you have ever heard a question that seemed quite ridiculous? And you thought to yourself, what in the world kind of question is that? What kind of question is that? In Luke chapter 21 and verse number 26, Jesus warned us that in the last days leading up to his return, that the time would come when men's hearts would fail them for fear of what they saw coming upon the face of the earth. How many of you know this morning that we are seeing that fulfilled in our time? Jesus warned us and said men's hearts would fail them for fear of what was coming upon the face of the earth. And as we look around our world today, amen, it is not difficult for us to realize that the words of Christ are coming to pass right before our very eyes. Webster's dictionary defines the word fear as a sense of impending doom, a sense of certain calamity. Humanity this morning, the world over, is filled with a certain fearful anxiety. There is a sense of impending doom hanging over the heads of all humanity. There are those, even this morning, there are those and those that live daily in fear of a terrorist attack. It seems that almost daily we hear of the senseless loss of human life. There are those in our world around us this morning that are fearful of their future financial security. How many of you know that the world currency or the currency of the nations of the world is unstable at best? That's why you see all of the commercials with the guy asking, what's in your safe? Hello? Because the currencies of the world are unstable. And there are people that fret about how will I get by if the dollar continues to fall in value. And amen, and a dollar is harder and harder and harder to come by. And work is more difficult. How in the world will I ever get by? What kind of financial security will I have? There are individuals this morning that are fearful of sickness. Mention the word cancer, Alzheimer's. Mention the word heart attack, and immediately it strikes the hearer with fear. Immediately there is a check in their spirit. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Mention the word stroke, and immediately there's a palpitation of the heart. It seems like that everyday life can deal each one of us circumstances and situations that seem to be overwhelming and out of our control. And I came to tell you this morning that fear is a very real and a very powerful emotion. Hear me. Fear is a very real and very powerful emotion. And I also would like for you to understand this morning that if we do not learn to control our fear, then our fear will eventually control us. Pastor Gary, do you have some verses to back that up? I do. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 25. And this is what the scripture says. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now listen to that. The fear of man brings a snare. What is he saying? He is saying that if you allow fear, fear will set you up for a failure. Fear will set you up for a fall. Fear will ensnare your life. But whosoever puts their trust in the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you this morning, but I came putting my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer is saying that if we do not learn to control our fear, then our fear will end up controlling our lives, and our fear will bring a snare or a trap into our heart and our life. And eventually, if we give place to fear, if we give it a foothold in our life, we will eventually walk in it. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we allow fear to take root in our spirit and take root in our heart, we will eventually walk in that. Do you have verse to back that up? Look at Job chapter 3, verse number 25. And this is what Job says. Job said, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Are you hearing that this morning? Job said, the very thing that I was afraid of, the very thing that I worried about, the very thing that gnawed on the inside of my spirit and caused me to fear is the very thing that's wound up happening in my life. I said, if we don't learn to control our fear will eventually control us. Job was saying, the very thing that I was afraid of has come to my doorstep. Understand this morning that what the Bible is saying is this, that if we allow fear to get a foothold into our lives, we are eventually going to end up walking in that we have feared. Fear and faith are completely the opposite. Fear and faith are completely the opposite, but they will both determine your outcome. Let that sink into your spirit. Faith and fear are extremely polar opposites, but they both have the power to determine our outcome. So which are you walking in this morning? Faith or fear? Hello? They are like oil and water. Faith and fear cannot mix. They're like oil and water. They are like light and darkness. Where one exists, the other cannot. You cannot walk in fearful faith. Hello? You can faithfully walk in fear, but you cannot walk, amen, in fearful faith. They're opposite. You're either going to walk in one or you're going to walk in the other. You hear what I'm saying this morning? I don't know about you, but I choose to walk in faith. I choose to anchor my faith in the solid rock, Christ Jesus. I choose to believe that he's able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day, and that no matter what I'm going through, he is big enough to see me through. Amen. We're either going to walk in fear or we're going to walk in faith. Amen. We're either going to walk anchored in our faith in Christ, the solid rock, the rock of ages. Amen. Knowing that God, our Father, has our back, or we're going to walk in a fearful trepidation and eventually falling into the very thing that we have feared. Amen. They are polar opposites. You cannot walk in one or the other. Amen. You cannot midstream, if you will. You're going to either walk in one or you're going to walk in the other this morning. Faith, when fear whispers in your heart, you're going down, you're going under, The devil speaks to us, doesn't he? And he likes to whisper all of the negative things that he can conjure up. You're not going to make it. Faith declares by grace, I am going to make it. Fear says you're sick. Faith boldly proclaims, I am the healed of the Lord. Fear says you're not going to make it. And faith shouts from the rooftop, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fear, amen, tries to drag it down. But faith shouts in the face of the enemy, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Faith shouts in the midst of the storm, no weapon that is formed against me will be able to prosper, not because of my might and not because of my power, but because of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the God that I serve. No weapon that's formed against us will be able to prosper. If you believe that, you can walk in that. Amen. If you receive that, you can walk in that. Faith declares, I am part of the blood-bought church. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I am sheltered by the amazing grace of my God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, he said, I will build my church. How many of you know you are the church? The building is not the church. You are the church. Jesus said, I will, not pastor Gary will, but I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hey, if you're part of the blood-bought church of the living God, then there's nothing that can prevail against you unless you allow it to. Hallelujah. Faith declares that they that be with us are more than they that be with him. Fear and faith this morning are not just polar opposites, but they have complete different authors. They come from a different place. Satan is the author of fear. Satan is the author of fear. And the word of God clearly tells us that God is not the author of fear. Here's what the word of God does tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. The scripture declares that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you have, the spirit of the living God inside your heart, then God brings with him a power and a love and a sound, sober mind. Amen. He does not bring fear. He brings the anointing of the Holy Spirit that allows us to know that we are overcomers through Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are not to be looking unto fear, but we are in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. We are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Thank God we are not to walk by fear this morning, but we are to walk by faith. Amen. Listen what Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse number 16, tells us. Paul the apostle writes, and he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, what is the gospel of Christ? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there in the word of God, verse 17, there in the word of God is the righteousness or the approval that God accepts, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by, not fear, but by faith. Amen. Let your faith this morning be strong in the Lord. Let your faith this morning soar to heights, amen, that will cause you to put your trust in God, knowing that God has got your back and everything is going to be all right. Amen. You may be going through a storm this morning, but I assure you that if you keep your hand in the hand of the Lord, He will see you through. This text that we've read this morning, I believe that it reveals to us the story that transpired in the lives of the disciples. I believe that the events teach us how to deal with our fear, how to deal with our fears when they begin to arise. I believe they teach us how to deal with a situation that looks like impending doom and circumstances that happen in our life. And if we will just accept what the teaching of the word is this morning, amen, it will help us to ride out the storms in our life. So this morning, consider with me the verses that we have read, or the text that we have read. The events of our text, they take place after a long day of ministry. Jesus had delivered the Sermon on the Mount. He had ministered to those that were gathered, a thronging crowd of people. And He had ministered to them all day. He had taught them. He had prayed with them. He had shared with them. He had reached out to them. And now evening was coming nigh. And He says in verse 35 to the disciples, "Let us pass over to the other side." No doubt Jesus was exhausted from the day of ministry. And no doubt He desired to withdraw Himself so that He might find a place of rest and relaxation. The God in Him could have continued, but the humanity that He was needed to find a place to rest. And so He says to them, "Let us pass over to the other side." The other side would have been the other side of the Sea of Galilee. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, it would have been the eastern side. On the other side of the Sea of Galilee, it was far less populated. It would allow Him to have an opportunity to get away from the crowds that had been thronging Him. It would allow Him a moment to rest and relax from ministry. And for those of you that may or may not know this morning, ministry can be both very rewarding, but it can also be very exhausting work. I got some preachers in here this morning that know what I'm talking about. Hello? Amen. Yeah, it can be very rewarding, but it can be very exhausting work. Verse 36 says, as Jesus tells them, "Let us pass over to the other side." Verse 36 says, "And they took Him even as He was in the ship." In other words, amen, they just simply pulled up the anchor and they set sail across the Sea of Galilee, headed to the other side. They simply just pulled up the anchor and began to set sail. And as soon as they departed, I can almost see this scene unfold in my mind this morning. Everything is tranquil. Everything is lovely. They pull up the anchor. The sun is setting on the western coast of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus and His disciples set sail for the other side. Everything is calm. Everything is peaceful. But verse 37 says, "And there arose a great storm." How many of you have ever just been coasting along in life? And there arose a great storm. Everything was going wonderful. The bills were all paid. Everything was beautiful. And there arose a great storm. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't faced very many great storms in your life, just button down the hatches. You're in for some because life is going to hand everybody some great storms. There are going to come some times that challenge us, that challenge our faith. And as they set sail, everything is beautiful and tranquil. But now there arises a great storm. And I submit to you this morning that it must have been a storm of unusual severity. Because some of these disciples that were on this ship, they were seasoned sailors. There were some fishermen that made their living out on the Sea of Galilee. They were accustomed to the body of water. They knew how to sail a boat. They were very adept in their trade. This would not have been the first time that they'd ever been out on the water and experienced some trouble. But they were able to see themselves through. But this time, it was different. This time, the storm was greater than their ability. Oh, help me, Jesus. Amen. This time, the storm was greater than their ability. If you know the topography of the land, let me just explain to you why storms arise so quickly upon the Sea of Galilee. The headwaters of the Sea of Galilee come from Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon stands a little over 10,000 feet tall, snow-capped. And the Sea of Galilee lies about 680 feet below sea level. And so oftentimes, due to the elevation difference, there are winds that come sweeping down the slopes of Mount Hermon and ride across that water. And sometimes it can be very severe. This must have been a storm of unusual severity, because even the seasoned sailors that Peter and James and John and some of the other disciples, they could not bring the boat under control. They could not bring the vessel into line. And to top it all off, the wind is howling fiercely. Water is splashing up over the edge, and now the boat is full. And we've done everything that we know how to do. We've tried to steer it left. We've tried to steer it right. We've tried to ride it out. We're in trouble. And on top of all of that, Jesus is in the back of the boat asleep on a pillow. Don't you like it when somebody just comes along and gets involved in your problem? It makes you feel, I mean, whether they can really help or not, it just kind of makes you feel like you got some sort of backup. Jesus was in the boat, but he's asleep on a pillow. You would have thought that he would have jumped up, got all excited with the rest of the disciples, helped bail water. I thought it would have been nice if Jesus would have grabbed a bucket with the rest of them and helped bail water. But he didn't do that. And so the disciples are now, they're in a frenzy. They're desperate. They're in a desperate situation. They are now fearing for their life. And they finally go to Jesus and said, "Lord, hey, don't you care that we perish? I mean, aren't you concerned that we are in a storm of our life? And we are about to go down, and here you are sleeping on a pillow." And Jesus, the Bible said, I love it. He didn't get all warped out, bent out of shape. How many of you know there ain't a whole lot that catches him by surprise? Hello? Let me just tell you, there's really nothing that catches him by surprise. I mean, he knows the trouble you're going to go through before you ever go through it. And I'll just tell you, sometimes he doesn't stand up and say, "Peace be still." Sometimes he just comes walking to you on the water. Sometimes he gets you through the storm by coming into the midst of your storm and helping you through the other side. Well, in this particular situation, Jesus stands to his feet. He looks at the wind and he looks at the waves and he said, "Peace, be still." And the Bible says, and there was a great calm. I read the text to you. Think about this for a moment. They were not the only vessel in the water, because the Bible clearly says that there were other little ships with him. And I submit to you that they too were going through their own storm. Sometimes we get so caught up with what's going on in our vessel and in our life, we fail to see the storms in the lives of others. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus says, "Peace, be still," he'll not only calm your storm, but he'll calm the storms around you. Hello? He stands to his feet, looks at the wind, looks at the waves, and says, "Peace, be still." And there was a great calm. And they begin to look at one another and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey them?" And then Jesus asks them one of what seems to be one of the most outlandish questions of all time. He says to them, "Why are you so fearful?" Well, wait a minute. I know you didn't see all of this because you were sleeping. But we were right here when the wind kicked up and the wind began to blow and the water began to splash over the side, and John grabbed a bucket, and then John couldn't keep up with it, and Peter tried to keep up with it, and we tried to sail left and we tried to sail right and we tried to drop the anchor and ride it out, and all the while you're asleep on a pillow and we are fearing for our life, and you have got the nerve to ask me, "Why am I so fearful?" Hello? Well, I confess, when I was reading this, I thought to myself, they had every right to be fearful. I mean, they were in peril. They were in peril of their life. They had every right to be fearful. They saw the storm. They heard the blowing winds. They felt the spray of the water splashing over the sides of the vessel. They had a good reason to be fearful. They're looking at impending doom, and Jesus has the nerve to say to them, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" And then it dawned on me, what made Jesus ask such a question? It dawned on me, it's not what they saw that caused Jesus to ask the question, but it is what they forgot that caused him to ask the question. Let me say that again. It is not what they saw that provoked the question of the Lord. It wasn't what they saw. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the waves. It wasn't the splashing of the water. That's not what caused him to ask the question, "Why are you fearful?" What made him ask the question was what they had forgotten. Yes, it's true. They were going through the wind. They were going through the wave. They were going through hell and high water. But that's not why Jesus asked the question. He asked the question not because of what they saw, but because of what they forgot. Pastor Gary, what did they forget? Three things I want to point out to you this morning. Number one, they forgot his promise. They forgot his promise. In the very first portion of our text, it was Jesus who said, "Let us pass over to the other side." It was Jesus that said, "Let us pass over to the other side." They had the very promise of the Lord that they were going from point A to point B. No wonder Jesus could comfortably go to sleep and ride it out. He knew they weren't going under. He knew they were going to the other side. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. What did they forget? They forgot that it was His word that declared we are going to the other side. They forgot His promises. They looked at the wind and the waves and they began to doubt the word of the Lord. I came to tell somebody this morning, amen, if you can get in trouble, amen, by looking at the problem instead of the promise. You can get in trouble by looking at the problem instead of the promise. The enemy knows that if he can get us to start looking at the situation instead of the King, he has us where he wants us. The enemy knows that if he can begin to get us to observe the trouble, then we'll take our eyes off of the Lord and off of the promises of God. And when we get our eyes off of the promises of God, that's when we get in trouble. Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning? It was Jesus that said, let us pass over to the other side. But they took their eyes off of the word of the Lord and began to observe what was going on around them. Amen. Thinking that what was going on around them was greater than the word of the Lord. I came to tell you this morning, if you start looking at that big stack of bills and not wondering how they're ever going to get paid, if you start looking at that stack of bills instead of the provider, you'll soon forget that the Word of God declares that God would supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If you start looking at the sickness or the symptoms instead of the healer, you'll forget the promise that I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. If you start looking at the storm instead of the sea walker, amen, you'll bring you down. But brother, if you'll keep your eye on the promises of God, the promise will see you through. Deliverance is in the promise. Let me say that again. Deliverance is in the promise. Keep your eyes on the promises of God. The deliverance is in the promise. I came to tell someone this morning that your deliverance is in the promise. I came to tell you this morning to keep your eyes on the promises of God. Keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not on the circumstance or the situation, because it is the promise of God that will bring deliverance to your life every time. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. This is what the word of God says. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, because he is faithful who promised. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20. The word of God says, and all of the promises of God are yes and amen in him unto the glory of God. Numbers chapter 23, verse number 19. This is what the Bible says. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good? I came to tell you this morning that we can hold fast the profession of our faith. I came to tell you this morning that if God said it, you can take it to the bank. If God said it, you may be going through some storms, but keep your eyes on the promise. The deliverance is in the promise of God. So number one, they forgot his promise. Number two, not what they saw, but what they forgot. Number two, they forgot that his presence was right there with them. They forgot that he was there. let me just tell you something. If you have given your heart to Christ, you will never go through one thing that he does not accompany you through it. He will always be there. He will always be there. They forgot. He was in the ship. He was right there with them. Amen. He was right there. Yes, they were in a desperate situation. And yes, they were in need of immediate help. And yes, it looked impossible. But the good news was he was right there. They forgot his presence. You may be going through the storm of your life this morning, but if you are with the Lord and the Lord is in your heart, then I came to tell you, you are not alone. You are not alone. Hebrews 13 and 5, the word of God declares that God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. How many of you know fair-weathered friends will, amen, be your friend one day and turn their back on you the next? But Jesus said, I'm not like that. Jesus says, amen, I am a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's not like that this morning. No matter what you are going through, you are not alone. He is right there with you. And I will just tell you right up front, if he's with you, It's going to work out in your favor. I mean, you know, it's going to work out in your favor. Listen what he said in Matthew chapter 28 in verse 20. He said, lo, I am with you always. Everybody say always. Always. Always, even to the end of the world. You are not alone this morning. You may be going through a storm and the wind is blowing against your face and you feel like you are about to go under. You're not going to go under. He's with you. He's not going down, and neither are you. If he is the pilot of your salvation and the captain of your salvation and the pilot of your ship, then you're in good hands with the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 7. This is what it says. It said, the angels of the Lord encamp around about them that fear the Lord or that reverence the Lord and delivereth them. Hey, that's good news. Stop and think about it while I put my sermon notes together and I picked up that scripture to put it into my notes. I just envisioned sitting at a campfire. And you know how you feel when you're out in the mountain, you feel like you're alone and there's no one around. I just envisioned the angels of the Lord all camped around me. Hello? Well, that's what he's saying. The angels of the Lord encamp around about you who fear and reverence God to bring deliverance into their lives. How many of you remember the story of Elisha? His servant goes out one morning to gather firewood, and he looks out and he sees all of the evil armies that have come out against them. And he goes back in and he tells the prophet, we have a problem. There are armies encamped against us. They have come out against us. And Elisha said, don't worry about it. It's all good. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. We have them outnumbered. And I'm sure the servant was scratching his head going, it must be that new math. If you will just step out of the tent here, partner, you will find out that we really have an issue. And here's what the prophet said. He said, Lord, open my servant's eyes so he can just see. And God supernaturally opened the eyes of the servant. And when he looked at the mountainside surrounding them, there were the armies of heaven surrounding them. And you know how they won the battle? Amen. Elisha just said, Lord, strike them with blindness. And they all went blind. I'm telling you this morning, you may feel like you are alone, but I come to tell you, you are not alone. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. I got to move on. Amen. In his presence, the scripture said in Psalm 16 and 11, in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You're in the very presence of God. You may be going through something, but don't ever forget. Amen. They forgot that he was with them. Don't ever forget that God is on your side and that God is with you. And that no matter what you encounter, you do not encounter it alone, but you encounter it with the anointing of the Lord on your side. Amen. The third thing that they forgot was they forgot his power. They forgot his power. I wonder why they didn't remember. I mean, listen, he stands, rebukes the wind and the sea, says, peace be still, and everything is calm. And they looked at one another and said, what manner of man is this? I wonder why they didn't remember that this was the same guy that opened the eyes of the blind. Now, I don't know which is more difficult, to open eyes of the blind or say, peace be still. But it was the same guy. I don't know what would be more difficult, saying, peace be still, or taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and causing it to feed more than 5,000 men at one time, besides the women and the children. Hello? Well, that was then, this is now. Let me just tell you a little quick story. I traveled for about 15 years preaching revivals all over the country. I had been gone about, I think it was almost 6 weeks, 5 weeks, somewhere in there. And it was late in the fall. I was in California. And I was traveling home the next day. And before I went to sleep, the last thing that I saw on the news was the mountains are going to be inundated with snow. I'm like, great. It is, you know, it's a 600-mile drive. It takes pretty much all day, you know, and now I'm gonna have to drive, you know, at snow limit speeds. You know, y'all don't really know me if you don't know I don't like snow limit speeds. So I'm praying, and I said, Lord, please, I just want to go home. I'm tired, I'm weary. I want to go home to my baby. And the Lord said to me, just before I drifted off, I'll see you home, son. I got in the car the next morning, bright and early, 4 o'clock in the morning, hit the road by about 4:30, I think it was, and I am headed home. I got to the mountains of Northern California, and I sail right through them. I'm like, yes, glory to God. I hit Lakeview. Praise God, there's no snow. I got to that little town just the other side of Vail, out there, Juntura, and it started to spit snow. And something rose up inside of me. Because I'm still, I mean, you know, Juntura is not that far off, but it's still a ways from home. I'm not home yet. And the Lord had said, I'll get you home. It ain't going to snow till it gets home. And I mean, the snow kind of started spitting a little bit. And something just rode up inside of me. And I looked out the car window and I said, not yet. And God is my witness. It quit. And I drove home, Vail, Ontario. I pulled in the driveway, and it started snowing. And we got 6.5 inches that night. Amen. That same God that said, peace, be still, is still the same God that we serve. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never has changed. And what they forgot was they forgot, amen, not only his presence, but they forgot his promise and his power. They forgot that he had the power to open the eyes of the blind. They forgot that he had cleansed the lepers and raised the dead. They forgot that he had fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and a few fish. They forgot that he turned water into wine. They forgot that he came walking to them on the water. They forgot his great power. I came to tell you this morning, don't ever forget that you serve a powerful God. And when you cannot, the Holy Spirit is able to step down right in the middle of your situation and give you a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You may be having something that's happening in your life, and the enemy wants nothing more than for you to abandon your faith and to fill your heart with fear. But I came to ask you this morning, why are you so fearful? Why are you fearful when we have God's promise and we have God's presence and we're not operating in our ability, but we are operating in his power? There is nothing too hard for our God. You're not going through anything this morning that he is not big enough to see you through. Amen. If he can part the Red Sea for Moses, if he can lock the jaws of the lions for Daniel, if he can cause the whale to spit Jonah back up, hey, I'm telling you, he can meet your need this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me just share one more thing with you and I'm going to close. I want you to notice that in verse 37, the scripture says, and there arose a great storm. Verse 39 says, and he arose, and there was a great calm. I like that. There arose a great storm. He arose. And there was a great calm. Here's what I want to tell you this morning. Let God arise in your situation. Let God arise in your storm. Let God arise in your circumstance. Psalm 68:1 said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Let God arise in your heart this morning. Let faith arise in your heart this morning. Let faith rise up in your spirit and know that there is nothing that is impossible with our God. Let faith arise in your heart this morning and look the trial, look the circumstance, look the problem right in the eye and declare, I'm going to the other side. Hallelujah. This morning I ask you, let his peace be still be our peace. Let his peace be still be our peace. Let the peace of God come to your spirit this morning. He asked the question not because of what they saw, but because of what they had forgotten. They had forgotten his promise, his presence, and his power. Any time that we fail to remember his promise, his presence, and his power, we too will become desperate, feeling as if we are going down, and fear will grip our heart. We will either walk in fear or we will walk in faith. I encourage you this morning to walk in the faith that declares, I am going over to the other side. It shall be well with me and with mine. Heads bowed, eyes closed. All over the building this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are God that has not changed. And that, Father, that your promise is just as true today as it has ever been. That your presence is just as real today as it has ever been. I thank you that your power is not diminished and there is nothing impossible with you. Lord, the enemy wants to come out against us and roar as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to cause us to operate and live in a fearful state. But I thank you this morning that faith is real. Faith is powerful and faith moves mountains. This morning I pray, O Lord, that you will make the words that we've spoken this morning real to the hearts of the hearers. If there are those that are here this morning that are facing a storm in their life, that, Lord, you would let them understand that you are greater than any of their storms. I ask it in Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed. How many of you here this morning may be willing to slip up your hands? Say, Pastor Gary, you preached this word for me. I needed it this morning. God bless you and you and you and you and you and you. And you.